Let's bow our heads and start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for the light of your Holy Spirit. May we hear the truth. Our hearts may be docile to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit, that we may do the good that you're calling us to do. We ask this all in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. My dear friends in Christ, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. The Church reminds us today in this Feast of Christ the King that Christ will indeed come again. He will come with all of his angels and will come upon his glorious throne, as it says in the Gospel, and all the nations will be assembled before him. Christ came to us 2,000 years ago as a humble little babe in Bethlehem. He comes to us every day on the altar in the humble form, the white little host. But he will come one day in his full splendor and glory. Now, the great St. Ignatius of Loyola uses one of his meditations. He's the great author of the spiritual exercises, the founder of the Jesuit order. And in the spiritual exercises, if you do the full scale, it's about 30 days. And each week there's different meditations and themes. The first week, the fourth day, has a meditation on the two banners or two standards or two groups. And the two groups, one is Christ the King, the Lord of Lords, the chief commander, and the other camp is that of Lucifer. And he says in this meditation, he says, you picture Christ, and under his standard, he's beckoning all to come to him, to march under his banner. And Lucifer is doing the same, calling people under his banner. So he said in the meditation, picture a great, great, massive field. And in one field near Jerusalem, you have the commander-in-chief, the good captain, our Lord Jesus Christ. Another vast field, the enemy, the field of Babylon, where you have Lucifer. He said in the meditation, turn to the Lord in prayer and ask him, Lord, help me to have knowledge of your ways, a knowledge of the deceits of the bad and of the bad chief, so I may be able to guard myself against his snares. Help me, dear Lord, to have true knowledge of what's true life and how to imitate you. So he says, you're picturing the camps and listening to the Lord's voice. Help me not to listen to the voice from the other camp. Maybe picture them with a megaphone so sometimes the sounds come over into your camp. We ask the Lord that you may block your ears to that and listen to that of his voice. Now the strategy of the devil in this meditation, or not just the meditation but in reality, he throws out his nets and his chains with the help of other demons and those who are in mortal sin. And what he first does, St. Ignatius says, the devil tempts people to riches and the things of this world and ways that they can more easily obtain honors in this world. So he said real easily, to sum up, St. Ignatius says, first the temptation to riches, material things, things of this world. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like that something brand new? Wouldn't you like that car? Wouldn't you like something bigger and better, better than your neighbor? Wouldn't you like that? The second step, honor. Don't you want people to know your name? Your name to behold an honor or popularity, maybe for good or bad, but and then third is pride, essentially, which is independence of God. I don't need prayer. I don't need mass. I don't need a faith community. I can do it all alone. So those are the temptations in Lucifer's camp. Now then the plan of the Lord, his will. His plan is for the salvation of every man, woman, and child. He uses his angels and his saints and those in a state of grace to bring more and more people into his camp. He sends out the Holy Spirit to inspire the hearts of all those. And he's spreading his doctrine and teachings, the word of truth throughout the world. Now, what he, our Lord, does in the camp, contrary to Satan, is spiritual poverty. Calls people to simplify their lives. Calls people to embrace even contempt from other people. Other family members don't understand us, our practicing the faith, our necessity to go to Mass, our necessity to prayer. If you have that occasion where you're visiting relatives on a weekend and you don't have a car, like, oh boy, well, you know, I better not ask them because I really want to go to Mass, but I don't have a car. I'll just be quiet. Well, you play right into the enemy's camp. That's where you have to show your faith. I really need to get to the Mass. I need to feed my soul. So, sum up on the good camp. So the first, the Holy Spirit inspires us to poverty, simplicity of life over riches. inspires us to accept insults and contempts against the worldly honor, inspires us to accept those contempts, even being misunderstood by family, relatives, and friends, and third, and most importantly, inspires us to humility, which is dependence on God. God, I need you. I need you in my daily life. I need to pray every day. I need to go to Mass. And the daily Mass scores will attest to this. Once you start going to daily Mass, you've accepted an invitation and you're able to in your schedule, there's something in the daily Mass goer's heart that thirsts, that can't go a day without Mass. So the closer we get to the Lord, the more and more He gives, the more dependent we become on Him, and that's a beautiful state. And the further the soul goes in this journey, it comes to the point of total self-surrender to Christ. Now, with these two camps, however, many will straddle the issue. They may be marching under the banner of Christ the King, but they may sometimes hear the megaphone from the other camp. Or they may look over there, wow, it looks like they're having fun in that side. So they're marching under the banner of Christ, but their hearts may be starting to tend to go over to the other camp. That's called the state of mediocrity. Well, yeah, I'm sort of here. I'm physically here in church. I don't want to be here. It's for that attitude. So it's mediocrity. Well, I'll just do the minimum, go by. I can still say that I'm a Christian. Now, I'm going to give an example here today of someone who's totally dedicated to Christ the King, marched under His banner, and he recognizes at a very young age. His blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. It's very good when we read the Gospels, we hear about the blessings and the saints, because they are living Gospels. Ones who read this, but they lived it, which is most important. Blessed Pier Giorgio lived from 1901 to 1925 in Turin, Italy. And at a very young age, which is really amazing, he had a love for Christ. His dad was agnostic. Yeah, there may be a God. His mom, well, she would go to Mass but never received communion. And if she didn't go a particular weekend, well, no big deal. But the family is very wealthy, very influential. And so they would have tutors for the children. They had two. They had Pier Giorgio and Luciana. So they would have tutors and things like that. So young age of four, one of the tutors recalled this. They heard, a priest was going by, they heard the bells ring. This is Catholic Italy. The priest was bringing communion to the sick. They would have the vestments, the candles, and the bells going. And the tutor said, oh, there goes the King. And Pier Giorgio, at the age of four, yes, the King of Kings. So he had something deep in his heart. He realized he had the faith. So maybe from the little trickles that came from the tutors and things like that. And then later, he went to a Jesuit, had some Jesuit education, where he really grew to greater depths in the faith. Now, this Pier Giorgio, he's young, he's a very handsome man, he's very athletic, very strong. He loved climbing mountains, he was a skier. There's different pictures of him in contests that he was in. He was a swimmer. There were horses that he could ride that other people couldn't ride, couldn't tame. So he was just a wonderful, wonderful athlete, wonderful person to be around. But unbeknownst to many of his friends, they couldn't fathom the depths of his spirituality. Remember about 3 weeks ago we pulled the saints' names out, and hopefully you all did that. So I did as you did. I prayed to the Holy Spirit and asked the Lord to guide me, and I picked out Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. Now, I knew a little bit about him at that point. I was really excited. I said, wow, God is calling me to learn more about Him. And as your pastor, I think God's calling you to learn more about Him as well. And so I'm reading about His life. You know, He would do this twice a week. Before he'd be climbing the mountains, he'd be spending all night in adoration. He had a great love, a burning love, for Jesus in the Eucharist. He realized at a young age that the totality of reality is Christ in the Eucharist. So he'd be in adoration 10 p.m., 11 p.m., midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and then he'd go to Mass right away and then catch up with his friends and be climbing these mountains. They had no idea this after stuff. They had no idea that he was doing this. They knew that he was a prayerful man. Because when they would get to the top of the mountains, he would do this in a way that was really acceptable. He goes, hey, you know what? We're relaxing here, catching your breath. Let's pray a rosary. And he would do it in a style. Yeah, that's great. Let's pray a rosary. He would go, like if he was in the pool halls playing with some of his friends, he would challenge them. Hey, if I win, then we go down to the church here and we do a Eucharistic Holy Hour. And if you win, then I'll give you some money or something like that. Well, he was a very good athlete, very good at a lot of things he did, so he would win. And so these people then would go to the chapel. Now, blessed Pope John Paul II beatified him. in May of 1990. And he said, certainly, if you just look at Pier Giorgio's life, just at a superficial glance, it seems to be the same of any modern-day young man. He was full of life, and his life didn't present anything out of the ordinary. However, and this is the originality of his virtue, which invites us to reflect upon it and impels us to imitate it. In him, faith and daily events are harmoniously fused, so that the adherence to the gospel is translated into loving care for the poor and the needy in a continuing crescendo until the very last days of his sickness until his death. His love for beauty and art, his passion for sports and mountains, his attention to society's problems did not inhibit his constant relationship with the absolute. Entirely immersed in the mystery of God and totally dedicated to the constant service of his neighbor, thus we can sum up his earthly life. At the age of 17, Blessed Pier Giorgio, he joined the St. Vincent Paul Society. So he started helping the poor. He found out the poor, he would go here, he would go there, he would go there, taking care of food. And at the age of 24, he was actively, at that point, helping 120 families. So I'm reading these different things, thinking, how much sleep did he get? Spending this time in prayer. And at the same time, he's getting a mechanical engineering degree. And then he's got all these things going on like that. And his parents couldn't even fathom. In fact, at the age of 17, his mom got wind that he was praying rosaries. Not just one rosary. Guess what she tried to do? She tried to squash it. What are you doing? This religious fanatic. You know, they had no idea. And then his sister writes in the biography, at that point, Pier Giorgio tried to be very, very quiet around his parents about his faith life and how he lived it. And the sister said, like when they would come into meals, there would never be a prayer, but he would stop in the hallway. She knew what he was doing. And he'd stop. You'd hear his feet, his footsteps stop for a second. He'd be saying a prayer before he went in. So he wouldn't shame his parents, but he would keep his own personal integrity. He said, this is John Paul II continuing with the beatification. Looking at young Blessed Pier, it's not difficult to understand the secret of holiness. Here we go. The universal call of all who have been baptized. It is truly in reach for all. It is a question of lovingly welcoming him each day, the will of the Father, and being willing to carry it out without hesitation. Someone comes to you in need. Help them. You see a neighbor in need. You go to them. You hear about someone in trouble. You pray for them. So anytime, he was very sensitive to where God was leading him. Now, he gave Pier Giorgio, in 1923, at a youth rally. He was speaking to high school age kids. Now, he's about 22. He said, true happiness, young people, does not consist in the pleasures of the world and earthly things. See, that's the camp of Satan, Lucifer. You need the worldly things and worldly pleasures. You can't live without this. You can't live without this. He said, young people, you know, because I come from a family, we're wealthy. He didn't say this, but he was wealthy and he had all the gifts and talents and things that the world would esteem. But he said, it's not in them, but in peace of conscience, which we can only have if we are pure in heart and mind. He maintained his purity his whole life. He dies at the age of 24. And I was listening to one of his nieces in an interview. His sister actually just died in 2007. She was 105. They exhumed his body in 1981 as part of the canonization process. And when they exhumed it, his body was perfectly intact. His rows of beads, sort of disintegrated wood beads, the cross sort of rusted, other things, his clothes tattered, but his everything. When I read the lives of the saints, you should say it's incorrupt, but they said perfectly incorrupt. The skin still had the elasticity to it. The eyes were just like he had just opened them. It's like, whoa, those are the first things to dry out. So when I read that, I was like, wow. You know, he was just so pure and so holy that God wouldn't let the ravages of death take over his body. Now, he says this. He's talking to young people, but he's also talking to you and I today. I urge you with all the strength of my soul to approach the Eucharistic table as often as possible. He would never let a day go by without attending Mass, especially at the age of about 17. He would never go on a trip. If he knew, well, I won't be able to get the Mass, we'll forget that trip, because that trip would be nice, but our center here is Christ. He said, feed on this bread of the angels from which you will draw the strength to fight inner struggles, the struggles against passions and against all adversities, because Jesus Christ has promised to those who feed themselves with his most holy Eucharist, there's a promise to eternal life and the necessary graces to obtain it. And when you become totally consumed by this Eucharistic fire, and he's speaking personally because he had that fire, he said, then you'll be able to thank with greater awareness the Lord God who has called you to be part of his flock, to be part of his camp, to reign under Christ the King. And you will enjoy that peace which those who are happy according to the world have never tasted. He recalls in a letter, it's wonderful reading his life. We have all these letters of his, all these photographs of him. He was at a graduation of a friend, Isidore. And at the graduation, you have all this pomp and circumstance and all these things, and all these people have achieved something. But he was at he wrote a letter to a friend. On the day of your graduation, I felt the truth of St. Augustine's words when he said, Lord, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. In fact, foolish is he who pursues the joys of the world because they are always fleeting and cause pain, whereas the one true joy is that which comes from the faith. And our beloved companions, particularly by this means, will always stay united, even if life's contingencies hurl us very far from each other. He saw the vanities of the world. His eyes were closed to looking at the camp of the enemy. His ears were closed to listening to the temptations. Because he was totally enamored with Christ the King. Now, to make the saint more real, I'll show you a picture of him. This is Pier Giorgio Vasari. This is taken just within a few years before he'll pass to his glory. He'll die of polio on July 4th, 1925, because he had contracted just 6 days earlier taking care of the sick. And then his grandmother, who was at death's door, he went to take care of her. And so the whole family was focusing on the grandmother. The grandmother dies July 3rd. He dies July 4th. The sister said, no one even fathomed. Well, Pier Giorgio may be a little sick, but he was so healthy and strong his whole life. We never even fathomed he'd be near death. And like that last, 2 days, 40 hours, he realized, whoa, he may actually die. But he dies in the order of sanctity. And after he dies, his letters and miracles start happening. I can tell you a lot of stories about that. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to finish up with a prayer that comes from his website, Frasati USA. It's a prayer to obtain greatness and holiness, which I'm going to read here. And next week, this prayer, which I'm about to read, you'll receive what's called our Advent Challenge Package. It's a prayer that I'm about to pray. I'm inviting you to challenge you every day of Advent, starting next weekend until Christmas Eve, December 24th, 28 days, to pray this prayer and to pull out one of these little purple sheets. Each day, there's a little challenge. You pray to the Holy Spirit, you pull one out. One day, it may be pray the third joyful mystery for all pregnant. The next day may be visit someone shut in a nursing home, someone at the hospital. One may write a letter to a friend that you haven't talked to in a while. Things like that. Each day is a little challenge to practice an act of charity, something that Pier Giorgio did. Now, here's the prayer. This prayer is so packed with meaning. Heavenly Father, give me the courage to strive for the highest goals, to flee every temptation to be mediocre. Enable me to aspire to greatness, as Blessed Pier Giorgio did, and to open my heart with joy to your call to holiness. Free me from the fear of failure. I want to be, Lord, firmly and forever united to you. Grant me the graces that I ask of you through Blessed Pier Giorgio's intercession, by the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That prayer really sums up his spirituality. Courage to strive for the highest goals, to flee every temptation just to be mediocre. When God inspires your heart to do something, to embrace it, to do it, to enable you to inspire to greatness, holiness, but also freedom from the fear of failure. Many people don't take a step forward. They're afraid they're going to fail. That's pride. It's relying on one's own strength. But if we, like Pier Giorgio, rely on the power of Christ, we can really, truly do all things and truly, realistically, aspire to greatness and reach the mountaintop as he did. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, my dear friends, today is the Feast of Christ the King. The Church invites us this day to consecrate ourselves and the world to the Christ the King. So I ask you to kneel as I recite this prayer of the Church. official, it's the official name of the church called Act of Dedication of the Human Race to Jesus Christ the King. And there's a plenary indulgence granted if recited publicly on the feast of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the King. Most sweet Jesus, Redeemer of the human race, look down upon us humbly prostrate before you. We are yours, and yours we wish to be. But to be more surely united with you, behold, each one of us freely consecrates himself today to your most sacred heart. Many indeed have never known you. Many too, despising your precepts, have rejected you. Have mercy on them all, most merciful Jesus, and draw them all to your sacred heart. Be King, O Lord, not only of the faithful who have never forsaken you, but also the prodigal children who have abandoned you. Grant that they may quickly return to their father's house, lest they die of wretchedness and hunger. Be King of those who are deceived by erroneous opinions or whom discord keeps aloof, and call them back to the harbor of truth and a unity of faith, so that soon there may be one flock and one shepherd. Grant, O Lord, to your church assurance of freedom and immunity from harm. Give tranquility of order to all nations. Make the earth resound from pole to pole with one cry, praise to the divine heart that wrought our salvation. To it be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.